Hey there, Pastor. How are you today?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Everyone watching, want to welcome everyone to another awesome episode of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Gary Zamora. It's such an honor
and
to always
Steve
be here
Blinn.
With you. And Steve Blinn.
You know, we showed up at the table here and we both just kind of were on the verge of laughter, I think. Something really great's happening. But I'm doing great. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. We might be in one of those like spiritual revivals you hear about where we just break out in laughter and all we do the whole time. Why not?
there certainly is worse that we could be doing. So let's laugh.
No, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here talking today. And something I thought would be fun to talk about to explore a little bit more is I'm not sure where we're at in terms of which Wednesday we're showing up here, but in one of your recent Sunday services, you were talking a lot about the idea of the soil, the seed, the grape, right. And Jesus obviously speaks a lot in parables and a lot about the idea of sowing, reaping, grapes, where the he's the vine, where the branches, and there's something really particular that struck my wife and I when you were talking about the soil and where a grape is planted and how important that is. Oh. And that was a real impact on me because as we've discussed the idea that the grape, the DNA of the grape determines what it's going to be. But at the same point, the soil plays a role in affecting how it's shaped and how that all comes out to be. And that caused me to flash back in my own life. And there's times and seasons where we're planted places sometimes where you don't really like where you're planted necessarily, or you like it and then it's time to move on, but you're still there because there's obviously something there that God still wants you to do. Even you may not know how that's connected to where you're going or what he says for you and those places that you find yourself. And so I thought that was such a powerful thing because the revelation of that soil still being an important place where God's got you and how that helps shape and determine what you are in ways that you don't even know. And I thought that'd be a really cool thing to just dive in a little bit more and talk about today.
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, I saw and have seen in the Word since I was a kid where Jesus talks about he being his father is the vine dresser and he's the vine and we are. I think I opened the service at some point saying, what are you or who are you? And I said, you're the branch. And the branch expresses the fruit. And Jesus said, God's pleased in that you bear much fruit. So let me address that real quickly. What does that mean, God's pleased? Like we do something and God says, well, now this is a good day for me because you pleased me. God's pleasure is in sharing his nature. That's what God does, and that's who God is, because God is love, and love just is without power if it can't be shared.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to share and express who you are, your love. And when you think about expressing love, it's not just a word or an emotion, it's you. I mean, when you express, if you will, the best part of who we are, then we're loving. And love is kind, it's forgiving, it doesn't think ill about its neighbor, it's not condemning. Love has all the virtues and the natures of who God is. And the Word says, they that dwell in they that dwell in love dwell in God, because God is love. So taking that aspect and then moving on to the soil, we are planted a lot of times or placed in different scenarios or different types of soil. And you could say, well, why would God put me here? Well, he wants to share his nature with us. God's always going to love you and not just feel a loving emotion towards you, but he's going to express his love towards
you. That's good, yeah.
And how does he do that? He's going to share his nature with you. He wants that to be revealed through you. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And what do the branches do? They express the fruit. And the fruit is an expression of the will of God. God predetermined fruit. It's amazing. I'm going to pick a grape off of the vine. I was thinking that was a tough vine. You know, Jesus talked a lot about grapes and the vine. So I've studied, I've thought, I've meditated, I've looked it up, searched and found out a lot of different things and talked to to different individuals that know about plants and grapes and vines and things of this nature. But just make it real simple. We're in a sense, by the word of God, we're kind of like a grape. Now, you can take a grapevine and you can plant it in a variety of different soils and terrains, and it will produce. But grapes, and there are different varieties of grapes, right, and all, but let's just talk about the nature of a grape itself. The grape really interprets the soil in a particular way, like you and I. You know, he said, we are the branches. What does a branch do? Well, it produces the will of the vine, the will of Father. We produce the will of the Father. God, Jesus said, and look at it like this. He said, my Father is the husbandman. He plants the vine where he wants it to go. So if we take on the attitude, first of all, where I am, God's planted me here, and I'm going to produce exactly the grape, the fruit. Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and that your fruit remains. Okay? So now grapes, fruit, they're kind of predestined. They're going to respond to different soils in a particular way. And that's kind of predetermined in a big way. So you can take a variety of grapevines and plant them in a particular soil, and they're all going to pretty much respond similar. You may have some grapes that, you know, are a little smaller, a little larger, but pretty much you're going to respond. They're going to interpret that soil in a particular way. And so if you're growing different types of grapes, Concord grape, whatever grapes you're growing for whatever you're doing, whatever you're making, that grape is going to interpret the soil that it's placed in. And the vine dresser, if you will, knows where to put that the grapevine. And that's what God does to us. He knows where to put us to get out of the grape what he's looking for.
Yeah.
But if the grape is rebellious, grapes aren't rebellious. They're be kind of pre-programmed. They don't really necessarily have a will of their own, but we do.
Right.
And what that does is that gives us the power, that gives us the favor, the honor, the blessing to unite with the vine, to be one with the Father, and again, the love of God. So if you put this grape or the vine of this grape in particular soil, it's going to tell you that soil may be, it could be clay, it could be all different, it could be hard soil, it could be volcanic, it could be a lot of different soils, but the grape has the ability that wherever it's placed, wherever it's planted, and wherever the vine dresser has planted it, that it's going to produce a certain character, a certain quality. And they're not all the same. They're different based on the different soils they're placed in. You're going to produce one type of gift that God's given you. I may produce another, but we come together in the unity of the will of the Father. But the real determining factor isn't so much in the soil. It's how the grape interprets that soil. So it may be a terrain where maybe it doesn't get a lot of water, and so maybe the grape is going to be a little bit smaller, but maybe it'll have more flavor because let's just say it believes a little harder for the water. You know, it goes through more, maybe the roots have to go deeper, the roots of the vine, and it encounters more stuff. So sometimes we think, why am I encountering so many things? And my neighbor over here doesn't seem to be encountering half the terrain that I'm having to walk through. But there's such character in every aspect of the terrain, the earth that you and I live in and that we walk in. But the grape really is what tells you what it's going to be. It doesn't allow the soil to tell it. It proves the soil proves the character of the grape. And that's who we are. I mean, wherever you're planted, whatever you soil you find yourself in, whatever you're going through, God said, you are the branch, and the branch is going to produce a grape. Now, unlike a grape, we have the power, we have the decision-making ability within us. God's given us the ability to make decisions. Grape isn't going to get up and walk away. You know, it's going to stay there, and it's going to find the best way to produce in that soil, and it's going to give the grape a character. The same thing in us. We're not in it. We can't be in bad soil. Because God has planted us. He says we are the planting of the Lord. So God has planted you somewhere. You may not like it.
Right.
You know, if grapes could talk, maybe they'd say, well, I'd rather be planted on
over here,
over here on this slope or on a flat plain or on the top of a whatever or on the bottom of what. But we have the ability to trust. This is pre-programmed, and this is kind of how we want to live sometimes. Sometimes we want to be just the grape, just You're there and we just show up and there we are. It's pre-programmed, almost pre-processed, and it just happens. But God said the grape comes from the vine, but it's not sharing necessarily the mind of the vine. And I've always said this. I said the power of a seed is its memory. And what I mean by that is the seed remembers where it comes from when it dies to itself. Now, it's not dying. It's dying to its shell, just like we do. And our shells are those tendencies to be angry, to be fearful, to be resentful, to want to fight the whole world because the world is after us. And the world. But the reality is the soil is asking the grape a question. God's asking us a question. He's asking you a question wherever you're planted. What do you say? What do you say about the soil you're in? And if we say, I am the planting of the Lord, I am going to produce the fruit of the Spirit because God has put His Word and His Spirit in me, and I remember where I came from. Doesn't mean you remember everything. It's like Paul. Paul said, I don't claim to have apprehended everything, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things I maybe don't want to remember, forgetting the hardships, forgetting when I didn't do what I should have, and I, you know, could have done better, could have done more, wish I would have, could have, should have, and didn't, or did and wished I hadn't. Paul said, all that I put behind me. What I do is I press forward towards the mark, the prize. What is that? High calling of God. The calling of God. What is he? What has fruit has he called me to be? Fruit of patience, fruit of kindness, fruit of gentleness, fruit of love, fruit of forgiveness, fruit of wisdom, understanding. God wants us to see who he is in a unique way through who we become. Think about this. In the day when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus said, I want you to go up in the upper room, go in the upper room, and I want you to wait until you be endued with power from on high. So the word says that a wind came rushing through the room, the Spirit of the Lord blowing through the room. And how did the Spirit manifest? It came out of them.
Yeah.
The Word of God, the memory of God came out of them. And what did they say? The word says that they began to talk about the wonders and the mysteries of God.
Yeah.
So we are that branch that bears the nature, not just God heal me, God help me, God bless me, God help me get through. I'm interpreting the earth that I'm in, and it doesn't matter how difficult it is. I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, the wisdom, the knowledge, the insight, and that's how we take dominion. You know, it's not us against the world. It's us in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
And you were talking earlier about the mentality that we can take on about where we are in the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well, just that idea that sometimes I think when you look at a lot of the way the church has been historically with the world, and I think a lot of times we in the church, we look at the world and we're upset with the world, not because of any true bearing of where they stand in relationship to God, because God loves them. He came and he died for them. But yes, we look like sometimes, okay, well, we've made certain sacrifices in our lives and we don't do this anymore. Or we don't do that anymore. And we look at a world that still gets to do all those things. And I think sometimes a lot of the anger that comes from the church is like, well, you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing this, but it's really out of a jealousy because I don't get to do that anymore, you know, and it's no longer about identifying myself that I am this, I am this fruit, I get to be this, and I'm in relationship with this. It's more like I have to be this for God to like me and love me, and
more of a resentment.
Yeah, it's really a secret resentment that I've had to give up this, and you don't. So I have a resentment against you because you haven't made the same sacrifices that I have.
Right, and well, think about a grapevine. Think about a planting an orchard. What if the trees responded in regret or rebellion? I wanted to be planted in that lot and you planted me in this lot.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of goofy and a bit of an odd way, but just imagine vines rebelling. Well, then a farmer, someone that grows whatever it is, tomatoes, oranges, apples, they could not prophetically, and that's what they do, foretell their crops. So they wouldn't plant. We wouldn't have
agriculture, horticulture, any of that.
None of that. We wouldn't have farmers that would, that's their job and living, because the vine rebels against them. You know, so I can plant a vine here and there, but maybe both of those are going to rebel, and this is the only one that's going to produce, which isn't the case.
Yeah.
You plant vines in a soil that the vine dresser knows, the orchard guy, the guy that plants orange trees or apple trees knows this is good soil, and I can plant a bunch of them and they're all going to produce fruit. That's God's will for us. The difference is he's not just programming us in where we just respond. We get to also react to the situations, and that's what fruit does. It reacts. It tells you, I remember where I am, and based on where I am, I know what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a grape. I'm supposed to be an orange. I'm supposed to be an apple. I know the word says a vine, which is why we're using a grape, but in agriculture, horticulture, all of that, farmers and growers are able to produce fruit because they know how the vine will respond. Do we know how we're supposed to respond?
Yeah.
Because we have the dominion. The difference between us and fruit is we have a mind. We can think. And the grape, in a sense, fruit in a sense, has a mind. It has a memory. But when it dies to itself, by the nature of God, it automatically becomes what it was,
supposed to be.
Where it came from. It becomes where it came from. But Jesus references that because he's saying to us, you are where you came from. That's who I created you. We didn't just show up out of nothingness. We came from the spirit, the mind, the word, the will of God. And that's why the word says, die to yourself. And Jesus said, here's a reference. Here's fruit. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You're going to bear the nature of the Father. You're going to bear the nature of the fruit of the Spirit, but you can't regret, and you can't have negative responses to the earth you're in.
Yeah.
You'll thrive here. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard soil. It's soft soil. It's clay soil. But you're not going to drown because you're clay, or you're not going to drown because or starve for water. You're not going to thirst to death because there's not a lot of water. You're going to go down deep. You're going to find God knows who you are. He knows what you are, and you have the power. But the dominion part, the part that gives us the ability to share, is that we get to believe.
Yeah.
This is what God said. This soil, this earth God has placed me in, we need to do what God did. We need to bless the earth. He made it, and he blessed it. I bless the nations of the earth.
Yeah.
I call them blessed of God. Why? Because they're chosen of God. I'm not saying everything that people do should be blessed,
right,
but the intentions, the will of God. When we wake up every day, we should bless the Lord. I bless the Lord at all times. I bless the nations of the earth, and I call them to the righteousness of God. God, be revealed in your earth. Be revealed in the nations. Be revealed in me. I am the branch. I'm going to bear the fruit of the Father. I'm going to reveal the expression of God. How will God be made known in the earth? And literally in the heavens, because the word said, Jesus said, I am expressed through faith. The favor of the Father is expressed through faith. What is faith? Well, the scriptures tell us in Hebrew that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things you don't see. So God, in short, saying, I'm going to reveal myself through what they can't see, what they can't touch, what they can't hear, and what they may not even know by them trusting in me. Whatever soil they're in, I want them to bless the, like Adam and Eve. I just bless the soil, but bless all the trees as God did. I bless the serpent, and I call you to worship God. God called you blessed. Every creature he had made, you're blessed, and this is what you're blessed to do. Bow down and worship the living God.
Yeah.
Bow down and serve the living God. If we would do the same thing, and I'm telling you, God is raising up people in the nations of the earth. It's going to ring out throughout God's going to cause this voice to resound throughout the nations of the earth. It's going to echo. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All nations, bless the Lord. Hear, O nation of Israel, hear, O nations of the earth. The Lord our God is one. And if we take on that attitude, no matter what soil you're in, you're going to produce the fruit that God predestined you to be. Now, not a predestined like you're going to do it no matter what, but the predestined that this is the, you can interpret the soil Whatever it is, you'll bear the fruit. If it seems hard, you're going to bear great fruit. If it seems easier, you're going to bear great fruit. If it seems hard and easy, you're going to bear great fruit, yeah, because this is who you're called to be. And when we say, I surrender to the will of God, then we're not only the vine, the branch, we become one with the vine, we become one with the root, we become one with the fruit, we become one with the nature of God. We're blessed. The earth is blessed. People see and call us blessed, and we make a difference in the world instead of just making a noise.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like so much when you talk about back to the Garden of Eden, it feels like so much of where we're at in most of the church today is like the serpent comes up with this opportunity to bring it into worship. And instead, what the church sees a lot of times is a serpent is the devil that we need to chop off its head.
Yeah.
And then we go around that and Jesus can come back one day and goes, where's everybody else on the planet? You just beat them all into nothing. You beat them all into submission. You just, you fought against everybody. You killed everything that I sent you actually to come and change.
Yeah. He planted everything. He put everything for a purpose to bring out the best in us. I mean, he even says, the word says, be as wise as the serpent. And as gentle as a dove. It means God's intention is in everything. Regardless of the soil that you're in, it's not hard against you. It's strong for you.
Yeah.
To make you strong. You know, give us the roots we need. God knows what I need in order for me to bear the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of his will, and what happens to me? Joy, peace, favor, blessing, wisdom, love, insight, understanding, everything that God willed for us in the beginning when he planted us on this soil. No matter what the terrain is, the knowledge, the wisdom, the power to produce is in the fruit. It's in the seed. We are the planting of the Lord. We are the seeds of Abraham, the friend of God, the called by the Lord. We are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're the sons of God. You know, we are those whom God has chosen to bear fruit in the soil that he's planted us in.
Yeah.
Every single vine, every single individual, every single branch can bear the fruit that God intended. And again, he said, my will for you is to prosper you, not to do you harm, to bless you, to have the greatest day of your life, to have a great season. And the great thing is no matter what the earth says, your surroundings, your circumstances, your situation says, no matter what the earth says, it's the seed, it's the fruit. It's the branch that gets to determine what the outcome is and gets to enjoy the experience along the way.
Yeah, and that's such a different paradigm. And certainly if anyone's been around the Bible, been around church, it's such, you know, it's not an unfamiliar paradigm, you know, but I think the revelation, as we've been talking about that a lot in these podcasts too, the revelation that goes with that, it's a very different even notion of what the kingdom is meant to be. I think about Jesus talking about the kingdom being like the mustard seed also that grows until it becomes the most flowering, you know, of all the plants and the trees and everything. And the contrast between that and what everyone was looking for in the Messiah and what the kingdom was supposed to look like. And they wanted this.
A little different than they intended.
Yeah, a little different than this like great military ruler who was going to come in and just kick everybody out and everything like that. And Jesus comes and like, the kingdom of God's here. And let me tell you, the kingdom of God, well, it's like a vine.
You're right.
And it's like a branch, and it's like fruit, and it's like wine, and it's like this, and it's like, that's not going to get us any victories here. That's not going to get us the power.
How are we going to conquer our enemy that way?
Yeah. How are we going to take control? How are we going to, you know, force the culture into submission to look like the way God wants it to be, or, you know, all that stuff? And he says, no, it's all totally, the purposes of everything that you're here for are so different than what you think they are.
Yeah. Well, and that's religion. Religion wants to take control and determine what it should be.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit takes dominion over our will and reveals the will of God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But again, that requires, we talked about it, I think it was in the last podcast, that's revelation. We need revelation. How do you get it? Stay hungry. Stay hungry for God. Stay willing to say and believe. We say it all the time, but really believe. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quieted waters. He's the restorer of my soul. He leads me. Listen to all the God leading us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even if I walk through stony ground, hard ground, dying ground, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my attitude says I don't fear owing any evil. And it's not just words. It's the conviction of my heart. Why? Because you're with me. Yeah. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's direction and instruction. It's the vine, the roots finding the way to the water, you know, through all the minerality and all that the earth is speaking. The earth is talking, you know, I'm this mineral, I'm that mineral, I'm dense soil, I'm this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Steve? What are you going to do? The earth's asking you a question. And you say, I'm going to thrive because I am the revelation of the will of the Father. Yeah. And there isn't anything, furnace or den or hard soil, that's going to stop me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use this soil as a foundation. It's a hard rock. It's a rock. And upon this rock, God's going to establish his church. And in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Yeah. And then I love this part, and this is where we get it. Only good will happen to me.
Yes.
And I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord always and forever. The Lord is omnipresent. He's always with me. Keep in mind, again, everything is connected. God has built a body, and that body is coming alive. It's like Lazarus coming out of the grave, coming out of the soil, coming out of the earth, and saying that no weapon formed can prosper. So people, well, yeah, a weapon. No, don't. The focus isn't on a weapon. No weapon formed can prosper, which means, in essence, there is no weapon.
No.
I mean, it can't approach me as a weapon if it can't prosper in its intentions.
Yes.
The nations of the world, the evildoers, the naysayers, they go, no weapon, be it, you know, whether it's a broom or...
Well, and you know what's funny is, you know, as we wrap this up, you know, I love this. I love this topic, and I love specifically this section of you know, we're really talking about John 15.
Yes.
You know, is the section of the scripture that we're talking about, and this was actually, as we've talked about before, you know, coming into your ministry and learning about having been. We talked about this last podcast of, you know, me being a big spiritual warfare guy before meeting you and all that kind of stuff, and just the revelation of freedom and of Jesus being. You know, he defeated the enemy and everything. We're not part of that. And one thing that really helped crystallize, you know, this for me back in the day was actually John 15. And this idea, not specifically as it relates as we've been talking about today with the soil, but in the same vein that it was that, okay, when the fruit starts to grow on the vine or on the branches, that God will prune you if you're doing good.
Right.
You're pruned as you start to grow because he wants to prune you back, cut you back, and then in order to make the fruit stronger even when it comes. But then it also says, but if a branch then kind of goes down by the wayside and goes on the ground, then the vine dresser comes and he breaks it and he puts it back up. And the interesting thing about that is whether you're doing well or you're not doing well, so you're in rebellion or you're doing exactly what you want to, a lot of times you're going to face some of those same things. You're going to experience things in your life that might feel like cutting, trimming, breaking.
Absolutely.
You know, those things, those weapons that feel like they're formed against you. But the only one in the story, I remember noting specifically, was that the only one in the story is the vine dresser.
Yeah.
There's no evil crow you have to watch out for. There's no rival vine dresser who comes in and is clipping the vines, because if there was, he'd only be helping you too.
Exactly.
You know, so if the enemy vine dresser came in and started clipping you back, well, he's actually helping out the good vine dresser. So, you know, it was such a revelation of just the pure sovereignty of God and his goodness for us at all times, that everything he's doing is trying to ensure that we are producing fruit, but that, and that's not even a thing to, it is for his own purpose, but that's for the very fullness of what we are created, so that we can be the most of what we are.
Well, why did he make us? Again, if heaven was everything God wanted, and the host of heaven was everyone that he wanted, why would he make the earth, and why would he create man? To express the eternal glory, the endless wonder of who he is. So heaven is a spirit, and heaven has eyes of the spirit to see. And God says, now I'm going to create a dimension where they can't see me with their eyes. They're going to have to believe me with their heart. And in that, I can reveal more of who I am than I can reveal in just the heavens, because the word says no eye has seen heaven or earth, no ear has heard, but it's coming again through revelation. Yet the Spirit of God is revealing through us the intentions of God. When I say intentions, that's, hey, Steve, this is the happiest you're ever going to be. This is, and that's, you know, we are all in different soils at different times, and sometimes it just feels like it's dry, and sometimes it feels like it's great, and sometimes it feels like it's just the most amazing time. All those are the nature of God's pruning, trimming, bearing witness, bearing fruit, encouraging, but the whole thing is that we grow in the knowledge of God. We are fortified in the knowledge of God, and it, His glory just continues to be revealed. You know, you're talking about branches. We have some trees in my yard, different fruit trees, and I remember a couple of years ago, one of the trees, I think it was a lime tree, had just grown. So it's encroaching over into the neighbor. I mean, it had grown. Right, I don't know how long the branch had come, but the tree was kind of growing a little bit lopsided, and there was a lot of fruit on those branches. I mean, a lot of fruit, but it was hanging down and literally started hanging down over the patio furniture. So my wife one day said, "We're going to have to cut that back because, you know, it's, you can't even get to, we're going to have to move all the furniture over because it's encroaching and where you sit and everything. It's hard to even get through." And I looked at it and I went, "Oh man, we're going to lose all that fruit. I mean, who am I going to give all this to?" And it was challenging to think about cutting that. And I knew it had to be, but just lopping that branch off and all that fruit, you know, we give as much as we can to the neighbors. We tell them, "Come and get what you want." But it had produced on that kind of lopsided, kind of like I think we get sometimes. Yeah. And so they pruned it off and I went, "Wow, that tree is just," and cut all the other branches off. I'm like, "It's ugly." Yeah, you know, I loved walking through there because we have these trees, you know, and it's kind of like walking through this little tunnel of branches and leaves and trees, and they were all gone. This year, we walked out and went, "Wow, look at, they're so symmetrical." Mm. And there's fruit on every side, and there's such balance, and the taste is phenomenal. And that's what God's doing. It's His love. It's His presence. He prunes it back. And I know we've heard this a million times, but take it to heart in this way. There is no bad pruning day.
No.
There is no loss. It's a prophetic call to what is about to come. See the future and know every place it's clipped, it's going to produce not only what it was, but something that's never been there, a bitter fruit, a bigger fruit, not bitter, but better, and it's going to be more rounded, more balanced. God is bringing balance into your lives, so we stop feeling that shifting to and fro, as the word says, but we become stable in Christ and in all that He is in us.
Man, what a great day, right? Oh, what a great day. What a great word. Thank you, Pastor, for another great time. And everyone watching, I just want to encourage you to trust what God is doing, trust where God has planted you, and to seek that revelation so that you can understand that He's only working all things together for your good and everything that you're going through.
You are bearing much fruit.
Amen.
And this is the greatest season of your lives.
Amen.
God bless. Thank you, Steve.